Back in John chapter 18. John 18. In this chapter, we've been going through this chapter, and our Lord has been taken by this band of men that Judas brought. That's how the chapter started. And brought to be tried and judged. And how foolish is man to judge the judge of the earth? How foolish is man, really, to judge the judge of the earth? Can you imagine the horror of every man that Christ stood before when they in turn had to stand right back before him? It was not long at all. He stood before all these men and pled. But he didn't plead his case. But right after that, they have to stand now in front of him. Can you imagine that? But that salvation might be accomplished and that the scripture might be fulfilled, our Lord allowed himself to be taken to a man named Annas first. That's where they brought him first, a man named Annas. And Annas the priest, he couldn't find any fault in him. Nothing at all. So he sent our Lord bound to a man named Caiaphas. He was the high priest. And while our Lord was being tried by Caiaphas, that's when Peter denied him, just like the Lord said he would. Verse 28 is where we pick up. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." In order to partake of the Passover, by law, they had to keep themselves from being defiled. But do you know what? We don't. Isn't that relieving? We don't. God's people do not have that impossible burden laid on them. Isn't that so restful? And really, it's an impossible burden. And do you know why we don't have to keep ourselves undefiled? The reason is because we are kept by the power of God. Christ is our spotlessness. I'm not spotless, but he is, and he's my spotlessness. I am as clean as he is in him. He is my holiness, and he's my purity, and in him we may freely take of him. Isn't that wonderful? So wonderful. Well, the middle of verse 28 says it was early. It was probably about 6 o'clock in the morning. And they had been trying our Lord all night long. And the hall of judgment is also known as Pilate's house. So Caiaphas, now, he sends our Lord to Pilate because Caiaphas and these other men, they convinced themselves that our Lord was worthy to die. And I want to show you how they convinced themselves of that in Matthew 26. Turn with me over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, here's the same account, him before Caiaphas, verse 57, it says, "They that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none." They tried, they tried, they tried, they found none. "Yea, though many false witnesses came," they were lying and lying and lying, "yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, or the margin says, rods in their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? They lied on him, and they lied on him, and they lied on him all night long, trying to find some reason to kill him. And someone finally said, He said that he was able to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Even though they had no idea that he was talking about his own body, they had no idea of that. He said, Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. And then 3 days later, I'm going to raise it up again. That's what he kept saying. And even though they had no idea that he was talking about his own death, his own burial, and his own resurrection, it still wasn't a lie, because he is able to tear down their temple and rebuild it in 3 days, if that's what he wants to do. He most certainly is able to do that. We could go back to Genesis 1 and see everything he did in the first 3 days. He created light. He created the firmament. He created dry land and everything on it, trees and grass. And he can pile up a couple of stones if he wants to. In one day, on the fourth day, one day, that's whenever he made the sun, the moon, the stars, all of the heavens, all of the galaxies, all the solar system. We'll just repeat this morning's message. But Caiaphas asked him, he said, Are you the Christ? And our Lord said, Thou hast said. He only spoke the truth. The whole time, he only spoke the truth. But they said, You're lying, and that's blasphemy. Actually, not believing the word of God himself is blasphemy. And after they lied on him all night long, they take him over to Pilate. Caiaphas says, You bind him and send him to Pilate, but they wouldn't dare go into the judgment hall because they don't want to defile themselves. They lied on God, and they lied on God, and they lied on God, and they accused him. But then when they get there, we're not going to go in because we don't want to defile ourselves. What hypocrites. That's religion. Hypocrites. Our Lord, I love how in this word of God, you will never hear him use the word hypocrite to a sinner. Never. I mean, they're all sinners, but you won't hear him walk up to a drunk and say, You hypocrite. But he'll go right up to the Pharisees, the leaders of religion, he say, You hypocrite. Hypocrites. Lie on God, deny God himself, but let's uphold the traditions. Can't go in. Look at what our Lord told them in Matthew 23. Look over a couple of pages to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 23 says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Isn't that wonderful? Strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Is it not a great wonder that the Lord saved any sinner? Really, any sinner. We said this morning, the mystery of godliness. It is the mystery of godliness. That's what it is. We all are cut from the same lump. You know, a true believer of Christ never develops that holier-than-thou attitude. He knows I was cut from the same lump. But for the grace of God, there go I. But for the grace of God. There is no greater display of the mercy that is in the Lord's heart than the cross. And that's a weighty statement. And the reason is because that cross displays what was already in his heart. Who he is. His desire. His will. Mercy. He's a merciful, merciful God. That song says, oh, how merciful, blessed Lord, thou was to me. The very ones, you know, we're coming up, we read it just a moment ago, they all cried again, crucify him. The very ones who cried, crucify him, he saved 5,000 of them at Pentecost. Right after that, the very, very ones. What a God. What a God. God of mercy. Go with me back to John 18. John 18, verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Pilate came out and said, what's he guilty of? What accusation do you have against him? What proof do you have on this man? And they just said, if he wasn't a criminal, we would have never brought him to you in the first place. That's how they answered him. Verse 31, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. We don't just want him to be punished, we want him dead. That's not enough. And it's not lawful for us to put any man to death, so we brought him to you. Verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now, something absolutely glorious and powerful was shown to me in this, and I love it. I can't wait to tell you this. We know this, but we're going to see some sovereignty here. Go to chapter 12, John chapter 12. John 12, verse 32, our Lord said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He chose the means of his own death. All right, he chose the means. He was proving to them that he's in sovereign control here. He chose the means of his own death. The commentators say, I read these commentaries, and the commentators say that the Romans who ruled Jerusalem at this time, Rome came in, and this is why they brought him to Pilate. Pilate was a Roman. And the Romans who ruled Jerusalem at this time, they took the Jews' right away from them to kill a man, probably to protect themselves, to protect the Romans. They said that the Jews can't kill anybody. Okay, so they took that right away from them. But the Jews did have a law on putting a man to death. It's in our Old Testament. They had this law on how to put a man to death. He was to be stoned to death. When the Jews put somebody to death, they stoned him. The Romans crucified. That's how they killed people. All right? Had our Lord been sentenced by the Jews, he would have been stoned to death. But he said, I must be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm choosing the means of my own death. And in obedience to our king's command, that's exactly what happened. This is the king himself. Look at Matthew chapter 20. This is, I want you to see his exact words on this. I love this. Matthew 20, look at verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, now listen to what he tells them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, that's Caiaphas, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. That's the Romans, that's Pilate. To mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. So let it be written, so let it be done. The king has spoken. This is how I'm going to cause it to be. The mighty sovereignty. You know, we have sovereign on our sign. The mighty sovereignty that was in every detail of this great transaction. Absolute control. Absolute control. Everything was according to his will. It was according to his way. And it was according to his time. Every bit of it. Absolute control. All right, go with me back to John 18. Verse 31, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? I love our Lord's answers, the wisdom of his answers. We could learn how to answer Pharisees just by listening to our Lord. Our Lord knew the thoughts of this weak pawn. Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? And our Lord said, are you starting to see that for yourself, or did others tell you that about me? Verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thou unto me. What hast thou done? What hast thou done? He's asking our Lord that question from a criminal point of view. Why are you here? What have you done? But here's the sad truth. Here is the sad truth that condemns every sinner. That sinner has no idea what he has done. This morning we looked at great things he has done. No idea that sinner hasn't been given eyes to see who this is. You know what a blessing that is? It sounds to the ear so simple, doesn't it? Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." May we always remember that concerning this world. We have here no continuing city. No matter what the condition of it is up until the last day, he's going to burn it up. We look for a new city. There's no reason to fight for this one. I love this country and I love all these things, but our Lord is in control of everything that's happening here. And if this was his kingdom, we would fight, but it's not. It's not. We look for a better country, the one where he dwells. That's the only one we care about. Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, our Lord said something wonderful in that one verse of Scripture. He said, "I was born king." That's what he said. "I was born." He said, "To this end was I born." Pilate said, "Are you a king then?" And he said, "Thou sayest. To this end was I born. And for this cause right here," he's bound. "For this cause right here came I into the world." For this death right here, this is the whole reason I came. Everything hinges on this right here. What he's saying is, I am the great... A sacrifice is about to be made, Pilate. That's what he's telling him. A sacrifice is about to be made. I'm the high priest that will offer the sacrifice to God Almighty. The only one he's going to accept. The only one he will truly accept. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world," listen to this, "that I should bear witness unto the truth." What he's saying is, I am that prophet. They asked John, "Are you that prophet?" He said, "No." He's telling him, "I came to bear witness of the truth. I'm the prophet, I'm the priest, I'm the king." That's what he told Pilate. Verse 37, he said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And verse 38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" What is truth? There are so many messages in this portion of Scripture. Line upon, I see title after title after title. What is truth? This poor man, poor Pilate, he's standing right in front of you. He asked him, "What is truth?" You're hearing it right now. Right now. I'm telling you, if somebody could go to him and say, "Pilate, today is the day of salvation." You're hearing it right now. Truth is not a what. Truth is a who. Truth is a who. What is truth? Whatever proceeds out of his mouth. Whatever comes out of his mouth, that's truth. Verse 38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." I love that finally they had to admit the truth. "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate found no fault in him, just like this poor world. Read the church signs as you go by. They find no fault in him. They find no fault in him. Let me tell you what else Pilate didn't find in him. He didn't find any need in him. I find no fault in him. He also found no need in him. He found no salvation in him. He found no satisfaction in him. He found no hope in him. He found no safety in him. He found no security in him. He found no rest in him. He found no comfort in him. He found no peace in him. Verse 38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Pilate acknowledged to all of them that he was the king. But what Pilate did not acknowledge was that he was Pilate's king. You know that? You want me to release the king, your king? The king of the Jews? Salvation is not just acknowledging that he's the king. It's acknowledging that he's my king. He is my king. Verse 39, "But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now let's close this message with wonderful news. Absolutely wonderful news. The king was not released. Barabbas was. And we are Barabbas. Do you know how I know that? Really? You know, we've had a message on that before. You know how I know that? The last line says, "Now Barabbas was a robber." You know what that makes him? He was a sinner. So are we. That's what we are. Sinners. Sinners. Christ came for one reason only: to set the sinner free. That's why he came. Came to set the sinner free. Hallelujah. What a Savior who can take a poor, lost sinner. And you know, the other two that hung on either side of him, they were railing on him. They weren't sinners. Until God had mercy on one of them. And then he became a sinner. God set him free. He said, "Today, you're going to be in paradise." He came to set every sinner free. He can take a poor, lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, "Glory, glory, gloria, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ ransomed me." I can only imagine that was Barabbas' story the rest of his life. I can only imagine that. This is the greatest news that a convicted sinner could ever hear in his life. If a person ever becomes convicted, I've thought about the fact before that I've never been convicted by the law. I've never spent any time in jail and all that kind of stuff. So you don't think about it that much. But if a person ever becomes convicted, if they're ever put behind the bars of bondage, this will be the greatest news they'll ever hear in their life. Ransom is coming. A ransom was found. Start spreading it cell to cell. A ransom has been found. Should the king of the Jews be released? Not this man. Release the sinner. And then give that cross to the king. Isn't that something? Release the sinner and then give that cross to the king. What an amazing truth we had to tell. To God be the glory. Great things he's done. All right, let's stand together.